Man, our job as we take a look at Christ today is that we set down whatever preconceived notion we may have and we get ready to say, Lord Jesus, you're in charge. Amen. Well, it's great to be here with you. Happy Easter. Man, we are here to celebrate Jesus Christ. Everybody just say, He is alive with me. He is alive, louder and bigger. He is alive. Man, we are here to celebrate all that we have in Him. Don't miss it. It is Resurrection Sunday, Christ risen from the dead. If you didn't get that memo, now's the time, right? It is Resurrection Sunday, and we're going after it with all we've got. Hey, we're in a series here called See the King. And our job today is to see the King of the resurrection. To see in the resurrection all of His greatness, all of His awesomeness as He hands to us our hope forever. May we see the King. You know, as we pick up today, we're going to be reading through a passage that's all about Jesus Christ and the resurrection. So we just have to make sure we catch a little bit of the context before it, all right? So just 3 days before where we're going to be reading in Matthew 28, 3 days before that, on that Friday, Jesus Christ was taken and nailed, nails going through His wrists, nails through His feet, nailed to the cross. He was nailed up as our sacrifice, Him perfect in every way, no sin in Him. But He died for us on that cross. And as He was breathing His last on that cross, there were so many that were so confused. Know this. Scripture's super clear. Jesus Christ died for my sin, and He died for your sin, that all of us could have hope and forgiveness in Him. And all of God's people said, amen, man. He is our hope. And so Jesus, breathing His last, died on the cross to cover all that we owe. Just so we're super clear, the disciples didn't get it at the time. The disciples were like, no, He's going to be king. And their whole understanding was that He would be king that would rule forever, that He would be king of Israel, that He would be king of the Jews, that the Jewish people would take over, that Rome would be kicked out, that He would be reigning over all. He would be their king forever. That's where they were expecting it to go. Right then, right there, He's going to reign. The disciples were fired up about Him as king. They're like, He can't die. He's going to be king. The Pharisees, on the other hand, had a completely different view. Their view of Jesus was, He's a fake. He's an imposter. Exact quote from Matthew 27, the imposter. Right? And as they saw Him as fake and imposter, they weren't saying He can't die. They were saying He can't live. This one needs to lose his life. This one is so wrong in every way. The disciples and the Pharisees, really, as they wrestled with all that was going on at the cross, as Jesus breathed His last, there was quite the difference in response. You know, the next day, the disciples waking up were grieving. They were wrestling. Where is my king? How did this work out? How could it have gone this way? They were in deep grief. But the Pharisees, they were gloating. They were celebrating that they had accomplished what they were trying to accomplish. And in fact, more than gloating, they decided to do even more than that. They went to Pilate and they tried to get some things accomplished. The quote was, "You need to stop the imposter, the fake. Now they will try to fake a resurrection, these disciples, and so you're going to have to stop it." The Pharisees were asking for guards to be put outside the tomb where Jesus was laid. They were asking for the tomb to be sealed. Just so you know, these weren't necessarily things that were typically done, especially the guard. Like, it was not the typical move. But Pilate agreed, go ahead. We'll put the guard out in front. And in fact, there was a seal put on the tomb. Just so you know, that seal was not there to prevent air from getting in. That seal was there to prevent the lie from getting out. They were trying to stop a lie of resurrection, and so they were sealing it like, you can tell he never left. Their goal was to stop a lie, not preventing air going in. And so they set it up with the guards by the tomb. They set it up with the seal on the tomb rock. And everybody had their biased eyes, their confused understanding. The disciples saying, how can this be? The Pharisees saying, that's right, now hold it down. Keep it this way. And our job today is to take a good, clear look at Jesus. Are you ready to see Jesus, not through biased eyes, but to see him as he is? And with whatever pain you may have walked in here with whatever heartache, with whatever struggle, with whatever sin you know has you racked, to be able to get ready to set that aside and say, okay, Lord, I am ready to see you in all that you are. So I'm going to ask you a real question for a real answer out loud. Are we ready to take a good look at Jesus? Yes. Awesome, man. Our job is to dive in with all we've got. Our job is to open our hearts. Our job is to open our eyes and say, Lord, show me who you are. I am ready to see the King and the resurrection. Just a little tip on this as we walk through it, a secret. Watch for the word behold, because it's going to show us where we need to look. Behold, it occurs three times in this short passage that we're going to look at, all right? So watch for the word behold, and it's going to show us what we need to know and to be trusting in about Jesus Christ. So that said, here we go. Let's start diving in to celebrating the risen King. We're in Matthew 28, starting in verse 1. Matthew 28, starting in verse 1. And point one is, see the empty tomb. Man, if we're going to celebrate Jesus and all that he is, see the empty tomb. Everybody say, he's alive. And that's why we're here. That's what we're celebrating. Jesus Christ, he is alive and the tomb is empty. So here we go. It says, now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week. So this is after the Sabbath. Remember, Jesus died on a Friday. The Sabbath was the next day, and now we're on Sunday. It's 3 days in, all right? So Jesus died on Friday. We're on 3 days later. We're on Sunday morning now, the dawn of the first day of the week. By the way, super convenient then to be celebrating Easter on Sunday morning, right? To be making much of him and all that he is. It says, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. A couple of the ladies rallying together. Mary Magdalene, now this is one where we've seen the name in other parts of the Gospels. She's one who had met Jesus earlier. And Jesus had touched her and healed her. 7 demons going out of her. And she had this healing that took place. She ended up throwing herself down at Jesus' feet and worshiping him and praising him and celebrating him for all that he is. And Mary Magdalene had this awesome celebration moment with Jesus for the healing that he did. So it says, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. How'd you like to be that Mary? Like Mary Magdalene gets her whole name in there, you get, you know, the other one, right? And just so you know, there was actually a third Mary that was a part of things, Jesus' mother. That's not this one. This is the other Mary, right? And so the other Mary, some think Mary Clopas, she's mentioned in one of the other Gospels, but Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, well, they went to see the tomb. They went to spend time there. They went on Sunday because Saturday was the Sabbath, and so they were holding back on longer travel and being around anything unclean. But on Sunday, they were getting over there with their perfumes. They were there to grieve. They were there to have heartache moment. And they were there to take care of Jesus' body. You can imagine 3 days later how bad things could get. And so they're there to do some work and to do some grieving in the midst. They showed up at the tomb. It says, and behold. And when we see the word behold, we say, yeah, check it out. For those of you who are new with us, that word behold from the Greek, it just means look at this. It's in the Greek, it means stop here and check into this. Behold, check it out, all right? What are we supposed to be checking out? It says, behold, there was a great earthquake. How big of an earthquake? Great. Dude, it was not small. It rumbled the whole city. Rocks were falling apart. They had a massive movement that was taking place where you even saw tombs being opened, rocks being crushed, this massive, great earthquake. You know, there was an earthquake back on Friday. When Jesus died, there was a massive earthquake. Then there's another earthquake on Sunday, right? And so that earthquake on Friday, kind of the declaration of the grieving that was going on, but this sacrifice on Sunday now becoming a resurrection privilege. And so I just wrote this down as the rocks were crying out. I found this quote this week from A.T. Robertson. It says, "The earth, which trembled with sorrow at the death of Christ on Friday, as it were, leaped for joy at his resurrection on Sunday." The earthquake kind of being a crying out of the rocks, a crying out in the agony on Friday as the Creator is losing his life, but now crying out in celebration on Sunday, this massive earthquake hitting. It says, "For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it." I love that extra piece of information, right? It says an angel came. He thundered into the area. And this angel was given an assignment. Can you imagine being that angel? As God's like, listen, I'm going to need you to be the first one to go and tell human beings about what's going on with the resurrection. Listen, you can use something thunderous like an earthquake, just so you know. Like that whole area has tectonic plates all over it, and Israel's super susceptible to earthquakes in general, that whole Middle Eastern area. And as the angel comes in, he's allowed to like put the hammer down on the tectonic plates, things start to shift, rocks start falling apart, the tomb opens up. This is the angel's privilege, that he gets to bring in this thunderous statement. It says, an angel descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. He's like, my work is done. Now I'm going to sit down here. He takes a seat on the rock that he's just now moved back. This seat was a rock that was holding the tomb closed, and now it is wide open. I just wrote this down this week. The angel took a seat on this tombstone. The stone that was a sealed assurance that Jesus was not alive has now become the seat of triumph. The stone is moved back. The tomb is opened wide. The Savior is risen from the dead. And all of God's people said, amen, man. May we not miss the massive hope and privilege. He says, as he has this thunderous movement and now sitting on the stone, his appearance was like lightning and his clothing bright as snow. As the angel shows up, bam, this massive bright light from him, this beaming light coming off of him, bigger in size and white as snow, just this huge, massive statement as he enters into this world. This bright light of the angel beaming forth. And it says, and for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. These guards, who have been well trained to handle a lot of circumstances, and they were not trained to handle this circumstance. These guards who were well trained to handle all that would take place in front of them, they're standing in front of the tomb. Can you imagine standing in front of the rock? And all of a sudden, as the earthquake hits and things start to move, you step out, you get your feet set a little bit. Now rocks start falling off. You step away and the whole tomb rock that you're supposed to protect itself just goes and moves. And you step back and then bam! This massive, bright angel, pure white, beaming, so you almost have to look away, and they literally freeze, paralyzed. What is going on? They have a fear that has riddled their body. The guards, for fear, are trembling, and they became like dead men. I love that clarity, like they're not moving. Have you ever been so scared that that moment happens where you can't breathe? You're like that. These guys are stuck, paralyzed. Remember, There's two ladies there too, right? We have Mary Magdalene that's come up and the other Mary, whatever her name all is, right? And we have the two Marys that are there. They're right near the guards. The guards, it says, are paralyzed. I love this next statement. But the angel said to the women, notice that, the angel, bam, the guards go freeze. And he looks at him and he's like, yeah, not talking to you, right? To the ladies, he ends up saying, do not be afraid. You be afraid, right? Do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Amen, man. Now we got a job to do. We got to fill this room with a little bit of proper response. When I read this, there is some serious truth being read, and we need to respond with some big applause and some cheer that Christ is alive. So you're going to have to do it with me. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Yes. Get ready to applaud and cheer a little bit. Here we go. I'm going to read it with a running start, and when I get to the moment where we announce him risen, you know what to do, right? It says, and for fear of him, the guards trembled, and they became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here, for he is risen. Amen, man. For our King, you are alive. Amen. Amen. As he said. I love that statement in there. The angel's like, let me make it clear. He knew exactly what was going down, and our God is in charge. And all of God's people said, amen. As he said, this is what he's been talking about, you guys, and here we are. The hope that we have, the promise that we have, and the angel is declaring it out to the women. Then he says, come, see the place where he lay. Remember, he's sitting on the stone that's now opened up the tomb. And he's like, come on, see the place where he lay. You got to imagine the ladies were like, well, we did come to, okay. You got, I'll look and say, yeah, nope, it's pretty empty in there. Yeah. How you doing? Yeah. Okay. Oh my word, it is empty. Look at this. And then the other Mary looks and they're stunned. It is empty. And there is absolute truth being said by the angel. He is gone. Remember, the ladies showed up with the earthquake and the tomb being opened. They're like, this is a miracle. He is alive. Everybody just say, he is alive. Man, he is alive. This is our hope. So why do some wrestle with him being alive? Why do some wrestle with the truth of Jesus Christ? I just found this quote this week. It hurts more to pull a belief than to pull a tooth. And no intellectual Novocaine exists for pulling that belief. The reality is when we start to establish ourselves in a position, then all of a sudden we come face to face with reality. We tend to hold on to whatever we wanted in the first place. Remember, the disciples were like, Jesus is going to be king. He'll rule and he'll kick out Rome. So, no, he can't be dying. No. And on the other side, the Pharisees are like, this guy's a fake and an imposter. He can't be the Messiah. No, he cannot be rising. And both of them wrestling with opposite sides of the same problem. The Pharisees, well, they could not believe that he would be risen. And the disciples, they could not believe that he had died. They're wrestling with their beliefs, coming face to face with reality. Man, our job as we take a look at Christ today is that we set down whatever preconceived notion we may have and we get ready to say, Lord Jesus, you're in charge. You died for me and you rose again. You are King of Kings. May our belief be willing to embrace the reality of an empty tomb. May our belief be ready to face the reality that Jesus said he would rise again, and He has. And all of God's people said, amen. So simple question. Are you wrestling with a deep hurt, with a fear that has you gripped? Are you wrestling with sin that has got you so held down? Man, today's the day to let it go, to hand it to your King and say, Lord, you're in charge now forever. I trust you. And do you believe that he is risen? And are you ready to trust him as your King? And all of God's people said, see the empty tomb. Second, see the risen Savior. See the risen Savior. Says, then, this is the angel talking now. Remember, he said, check inside. See that it's empty where he was. He's not there now, right? Then he says, then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. You make sure you tell the disciples, the followers of Jesus, that he is alive. He is risen from the dead. Like his job as he's sharing it out. I want you to be clear, ladies. You're going to go tell everyone. You have the privilege of saying that he is alive. It says, and behold. And when we see the word behold, we say, check it out, right? See this, look at this, see what it says about your Savior. He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Jesus Christ, it's more than just an empty tomb. It's risen Savior. There you will see him, because this is what our Jesus does. He meets us where we are. In the middle of our confusion, in the middle of our hurt, in the middle of our sin that needs to go, he meets us where we are, and he calls us to a faith and trust in him that will rock our world. Behold, Jesus Christ, he is our living King. And know this, he is willing to meet you right where you are. Handing yourself over to him, him in charge. It says he is going before you to Galilee, like he's going back to his hometown area. If you get up there, you're going to see him. It's about 80-mile walk up to Galilee. But if you get up there, you're going to see him there. He's going to meet with you. And then the angel says, see, I have told you. I don't know what he's saying there exactly, except check the box, right? Did my job. Like, God's like, hey, listen, I need one angel that I'm going to send down. You're going to rock the place with an earthquake. You're going to end up making it clear to the ladies that he is risen. You're going to help give some confidence and some security in a very scary time. You get that privilege, and then you get to tell them, you go tell the disciples. I wonder if there was a moment where the Father says, you tell the disciples. Make sure you tell the ladies, they tell the disciples. And so he says, you go tell the disciples. See, I have told you. Like, I'm doing what God asked me to do. This is the responsibility I was given. And I'm trusting in him now to do amazing work. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Imagine how you would respond if you went to the tomb and you've now seen earthquake, tomb opened, angel, introduction to the risen Savior. You're told to tell the disciples, what do you do next? Right? Yeah, they get going quickly. And you got to imagine the conversation they're having as they're talking, right? Can you believe that? I couldn't even believe it. Well, that was amazing. As they're going along quickly, talking to each other and getting ready and prepped. What do you want to tell the disciples? What exactly are we going to say with all this? And, right, it says, with fear, like an awe, a deep respect for what God is doing. But even more, probably even slightly wigged out. Like, how many earthquakes have you sat through? How many tombs have you seen opened? How many times have you seen a friend of yours or a loved one all of a sudden gone, and you're told that they're alive. Man, this has got to be rocking them at the highest levels. It says, yes, they had fear, but and great joy. They're like, yes, I knew it. I knew he wasn't going to be dead. Yes, this is our king. He is alive. This one is risen. This is amazing. Yes, this is our hope. Man, I got to believe their joy is just spilling over. It was unbelievable. It says, and they ran to tell the disciples. I'm just going to be really clear on that. The ladies ran to tell the disciples. Just so we're clear, that is not Jewish cool, okay? That is not cool. From a Jewish perspective, for the ladies to be hiking up robes and running through the cemetery on their way out to be telling, like, they are so excited about what's going on, like, we are going to make sure the disciples know, and I mean now. And they're getting after it with all they've got. They ran with all they had to tell the disciples. It says, and behold. And when we see the word behold, we say, here's the third behold. Yes, the tomb is empty. Yes, there's an earthquake and an angel giving direction. And behold, Jesus met them. Hear those words. Jesus met them. This is your God, your King, and how he works in your life too. In the face of whatever you are carrying, Jesus meets you right where you are, looking to work with you and walk with you and bring a peace with you and carry the burden with you. Man, Jesus Christ meeting them. The sacrificial lamb, the king of the universe, it says, and Jesus met them and said, greetings. Just so you know, we don't say that too much, greetings. But officially, like in our language, it would be something like, Jesus met them and said, how are you, ladies? It was super casual, but you got to imagine, the ladies have just been sent to go talk to the disciples. Like, they're booking along, they're even running. There's a point where he's trying to stop them along the way and talk with them. Just so we're clear, the ladies really weren't going out of there saying, it would be really nice to have a social afternoon. Wouldn't it be nice to meet a few people and just talk to a few people coming out of the cemetery? Like, that would be great. Everybody say, not that. So as they're running, they're going to be running past. And Jesus at some point has to go, hey, ladies, right? Like, I'm stopping you. Hey, ladies. And they have to be like, hey, Jesus. And in the midst of it, they have the presence of the King of the universe right there with them. Please hear me. Whatever you are carrying and struggling with, your God will meet you right where you are. You are not alone. As you hand him your fear and your hurt and your pain and the sin that has so entangled you and saying, done with it, Lord. You're in charge. Our hope is in a God who willingly, gently, and kindly meets with us right where we are. It says, and they came up and they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. They threw themselves down and they grabbed his feet and they clinged tight, a proper form of worship. You are so worth everything. In fact, Mary Magdalene, we already know, she's already done this once before. When she was healed of the demons, there was a moment of her worship where she was able to grab on and cling tight to be able to thank and praise him for all that he is. And now she's doing it again. And this other Mary very well may have as well, depending on who you land on who she is. Like, this very well may have been this proper response. They've already been through it before as they cling to his feet, as they celebrate. You are so my God. You are so worth worship. You have so conquered death and you have so conquered sin. You are my hope. They came and they clung to his feet and they worshiped him. I can imagine there had to be laughter and even tears of joy. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Don't let your fear well up. Don't let what you're seeing right now take you by surprise. Hang on. Hang in there. Trust me in the midst of this. Take a deep breath, ladies. Then he said, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Like you've seen me right here, but do what the angel said. You still go and tell the disciples, don't tell them about seeing me. Like you tell them, Galilee, we're all going to rally there. You tell them, I'll meet them in Galilee. As Jesus gives the message of clarity, we'll meet up there. Let's walk this through together. God has a plan. Man, know this. Your God loves you. Your God cares for you with all he's got. Your God is longing to come alongside of you in the midst of whatever you are carrying. Know that our sin can be covered by the work of Christ as he died on the cross and rose. Please hear me. We are never good enough for heaven. It is never us good enough. It is always and only Christ is good enough. He is perfect. He has died for me and risen. I trust him. So man, maybe today's the day for you to put a stake in the ground. Maybe right now is the time for you to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you with my fears, with my hurts, with my sin. I'm putting it all down. You're in charge. Maybe right here and now is the time for you to say, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to trust in you as my King. Are you ready to make him your Lord? This is a sweet and powerful privilege for us to have. So I just want to be clear. We say it around here, like it's not easy, but it's as simple as A, B, C. What does it mean to be saved? A, to admit that I'm a sinner. Like, I admit I'm not perfect. I admit I come up way short. God, I know there's sin in my life. I admit that. Do you admit that you're a sinner? Do you grasp that it's time to hand it to him? I admit it. Next, the B, believe. Believe that he is risen from the dead. He is alive. Do you believe the tomb is empty? Do you believe that your God has it in hand? Christ is risen. Do you believe? I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe you are risen. You are alive. And then see, I confess you as Lord. Like you're in charge of my life, God. I hand you my heartache. I hand you my sin. I hand you my confusion. You're in charge. Romans 10, 9 and 10, super clear. That's saved. To admit I'm a sinner, to believe he is risen, to confess him as Lord. And have you done that? There are a lot of people that are like, yeah, I'm a sinner. I've been wrong. I get it. I admit it. Or maybe, yeah, I admit it, but I also believe that Jesus rose from the dead. That's great. But scripture's super clear. Until we're like, Lord, I confess you as my Lord. Until I throw myself at his feet, you're in charge. That's saved and nothing else. May we give ourselves wholeheartedly to him. May we see the King and respond to the King in all of his glory. So simple question. Do you admit you're a sinner? Do you believe he is risen? And are you ready to confess him as your Lord, handing him your problems, your struggles, your sin? It's over. You're in charge. I'm just going to ask everybody to go ahead and bow their heads and close their eyes right now. Man, if you're thinking, it's time for me to put a stake in the ground right now, it's time for me to start trusting in him, I'm just going to pray a prayer. You can quote after me just quietly where you are, phrase by phrase as we go along. And praise God, we had 9 who accepted Christ in the first service. We would love to be able to see somebody here who just says, Lord, I'm in. with you. I'm ready to follow you. So if you're ready to say, okay, God, I hand you my pain, I hand you my sin, I'm in. Just repeat this prayer after me, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, just right where you are repeating this to be saved today, stake in the ground. Dear Heavenly Father, I admit that I am a sinner and I'm struggling with it. I admit, and I'm done with it. I hand it to you, God, please forgive me. I admit. And I believe that you are risen from the dead. You are alive, I believe. And now, Lord, I confess you as my Lord. You're in charge. Please take over. You are my King. Just right where you are, I confess you as my Lord. Please take over. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm just going to ask you to go ahead and keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just right where you are. And I would love to pray for you. And if you have trusted Christ today, if you've put a stake in the ground, I would love to be able to just pray for you where I am here today. If you could just raise your hand up and let me know that you're in with Christ today. I'm handing him my pain. I'm handing him my sin. I trust in you, Jesus. If you've trusted Christ today, just let me know and raise your hand, all right? Just right where you are, let me know. Amen, man. See that? Praise God. Amen. See that? Anybody else who's trusted Christ? You're in today. Lord, I'm handing you my struggle. I'm trusting you as my King. I want to move on. And if you're hanging on, amen, bro, I see that. Amen. Man, God is moving in this room. Just be praying. Anybody else where you're like, this is it. I know I need to do this. It's time, Lord. I'm giving my life to you. I'm in. Amen. I see that. Awesome. Anybody else? I don't want to move too fast. And this is a day like none other. Let's commit it to him here. Anybody else looking to say, yes, today is it, I'm in. Amen, I got that. Praise God, it's awesome. Awesome. Let me just pray now for these who have trusted Christ today and for God moving in this room. And know this, scripture says that when one comes to trust Christ, the angels celebrate. Man, please hear me. The angels are just bringing it right now with what God is doing. Yes, in this room and across the globe on this day, may Christ get all the glory. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we lift you up. You are our King, resurrected one, living one. We trust in you. Lord, we thank you that you have died, that you are risen, that you offer us forgiveness. And Lord, we thank you for each of these now who have trusted Christ. May you bring a peace like never before. Lord, may you bring an amazing healing like never before. May there be a sin set down, you lifted up. God, may you get all the glory. We thank you for each of these hearts today who is committed to you. And Lord, we praise your name that we have the privilege of knowing you and loving you. It is in the amazing, saving, perfect, healing name of Jesus that I pray these things. And all of God's people said, amen, man. Praise God. Huge moment of privilege to be able to be a part of God moving in a room and God moving with a life. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm just going to ask you to go ahead and stand right where you are. And we've kind of got a tradition that we do every year where we close out Easter with a massive celebration, all right? Our job is to be lifting this roof off, like huge applause and cheers and praise. Maybe you're crying out things that your God has done for you this year, things that your God is, and you're celebrating Him as you lift it bigger and louder nonstop as we keep bringing it for Him. Our job is to celebrate that He is alive, all right? So everybody just say, He is alive. Hang on, I've got some words to say here, and after each phrase, you're gonna say Jesus, all right? Here we go, ready? He is King of the Jews.
Jesus.
He is King of righteousness.
Jesus.
He is King of heaven.
Jesus.
He is King of glory.
Jesus.
He is King of kings.
Jesus.
All right, you ready? We're getting ready to lift up the roof and do some serious praising. When I get done with the phrase, He is alive, then we're going to lift it up for Him. Ready? Here we go. He is King of kings, Jesus. He is author of life, Jesus. And He is alive. Bring it for Him.